All right, well, let's look at Luke chapter 14, Luke 14 for a few minutes. And we have been talking about missions for several weeks, and so we're going to deal with that aspect of missions this week as well. Next week, I'm going to be out of town. Tony Russell is being ordained at Redemption Church. Tony grew up here, one of the first kids in our nursery, and we've been able to be a part of his life, and he's being ordained next Sunday in New York City. So we're excited, and just pray for this week, special time in the life of a pastor when a congregation feels like God has called them. And as we talked about 1 or 2 weeks ago in Acts 13 and 14, a local church places their hand and say, we believe God has his hand on them, and we want to demonstrate that outwardly. So if you get a chance, you can send a note to Tony or let him know how excited you are for them and their entire family as well. We're going to look at Luke chapter 14 this morning. We're going to look at a couple verses in just a second. We've been talking about missions, so we say locally, we kind of use the word ministry. When we're talking about globally, outside of the realm of where we reach, we consider that missions. Growing up, sometimes we'd go to some other churches, and they would have a sign on the exit when you would go out. It said, you are now entering the mission field. Our mission, our strategy, our vision, our purpose, why are we here? Well, our strategy is what we call MRI, just very simply, three things we want to do. We want to minister to people, we want to build relationships, and we want to help people to get involved and transition and be those disciples where we can leave a legacy in the lives of other people. We want to minister to people. We try to do that on Sunday mornings and through the message, through the music, through the fellowship we have together. And then the relationships, you know, it's kind of hard to get to know somebody when you're looking at the back of their head, isn't it? So, you know, so we have figured out that if we want to build relationship, it happens in small group setting. And so that's what we do at Wednesday, and got a lot of events and activities. And so ministering to people in our large group, building relationships in our small group on Wednesdays, and then helping people to get involved to live out what God has called them to do. Our vision as a church is impacting lives for God's glory. We want to make a difference in the lives of people. We want to impact people, and we do it so God is glorified. A simple way of saying it, a while back, Pastor Ryan preached, and he talked about the Great Commission, and he said the Great Commission is about making disciples. So today we're going to talk about discipleship. What does it really mean? We say we want to make disciples. So I was thinking about this recently. I thought, well, what really is a disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? If I were going to make a doghouse, I would want to figure out, well, what does a doghouse look like, right? And then you have to have somebody skilled to be able to build that. Or if you know, today's several ladies' birthdays around here. So Pastor Dean's wife, Christia, and my wife, Paula, birthday today. So I'm not going to do this, so don't get excited. But if I were to bake a cake, all right, if I were to make a cake, I would need a recipe, right? So how would I make a cake? You have to know what a cake is, for one, and then you have to know how to make it. You have to have a recipe. Well, when we talk about making disciples, we have to understand, well, what really is a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? What's a disciple? How do we know if we really are following after Christ that we are living according to his teachings in our life? Look at Luke 14. And I just want to read several verses here. So Jesus would gather crowds together, and then he would lay on them this aspect of what it really means to be a Christian. How do we become a Christian? How do we live it out in our life? And that's what he's doing here in Luke 14. Look with me at verse 25. I just want to read a few verses here. And there went great multitudes with him. So there were a lot of people that had joined him. And he had turned and said to them, if any man come after me, so if you want to follow me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? If you don't love me more than everybody else, you're not going to be a very good follower of me. I bet that kind of shocked some people. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? You're going to build a building, you need to know what supplies you need, right? You don't want to build it halfway. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Jesus is about finishing. Can you imagine the number of people that start the Christian life? You know, they go to church for a little while and don't continue on. And he said, hey, that's not what it means to be a disciple. Verse 31, well, what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador, an ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. And so, verse 33, so likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be, and notice that, my disciple. Well, today I want to talk about what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christ follower? Well, let's pray. Dear Father, we sang some songs to you this morning about us. It is well with our soul. And all blessing and glory and honor and power be to you, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. And may your kingdom come in each one of our lives, our families, and in this church this morning. May you be Lord of our life. May you be the head of this church. May we submit to being your followers, to being your disciples. Grow us, help us to help others. May we make an impact for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, very powerful passage, somewhat convicting, I think we would all say. Wow, I don't know if I am as good of a disciple as I really should be, but Jesus is wanting to raise the standard. He wants us to understand what he really expects from us. He wants us to become everything that he is calling us to be. He wants us to transition from not just coming to get, and that's not bad. We come to church to be ministered to. We come to be around people, to have relationships, but he wants us to transition from coming to get to also to add along with that coming to give. That's a sign of maturity. A disciple, the Bible uses several words, a student, or a follower, a learner, one that sees the example and lives it out, an obedient one. And really, the word disciple and Christian mean the same thing. A Christian is a disciple, and a disciple is a Christian. It's not a super saint that only a few people can attain. Well, I'm just a Christian. I'm not really a disciple. But Jesus uses these terms interchangeably. There's not a distinction that he's wanting to offer us here. God desires this for all of us. So this morning, I just want to give you a simple thought. If we want to make disciples and if we want to be disciples, let's look at what Jesus says. So three times in the book of John, Jesus says, you are my disciples if. So let's just kind of take a look at a quick glance at the book of John, and we want to see what the Bible says. And the first is in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it's a really interesting verse here. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Notice what he says, if. So if you're doing these things, then I'm demonstrating to you that you are a disciple. First of all, it's just simply this, a disciple obeys the Bible. If you continue in my word, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a disciple? It means that we follow what the Bible has to say. When I was typing my message out yesterday, I had some songs playing, and a song came on. It says, where you go, I'll go. And I was like, wow, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here, right? When I'm typing, a disciple obeys Jesus. And I heard Kim Walker Smith saying, where you go, I'll go. A disciple is one that just simply obeys the Bible. Now look at verse 30 and understand the context of this passage. And he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Just as we saw in Luke, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people in the crowd. And Jesus said, let me explain to you what a disciple is. That's what he does here in the book of John. Many people just became believers in verse 30. He had been talking about the book of John, about his miracles and his teachings. He's telling people who he is, and the people believe him. They respond to who Jesus really is. He is my Savior. And then he says in verse 31, then said Jesus these words which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. If you do this, then you're my disciples. It's just a very simple understanding. So if I want to be this, a disciple, then I have to do this, which is what? To continue in his word. Now, we see that word continue throughout the book of John, especially in John 15, and the word continue is translated as abide. I want you to dwell with me. I want you to remain with me. I want you to abide with me. If you continue, if you allow this to progress in your life, if you will dwell with me, then he says, then you're my disciple indeed. You are really a disciple. You are truly a disciple. This is the first characteristic that he gives to us. He wants us to obey the Bible. So a disciple is one that follows after Christ. He is a Christ follower. He obeys the Bible. He is a student. A disciple is one in Bible days that would sit under the influence of someone else. There would be the master teacher, and he would be like Socrates or Plato, and they would have a gathering of people around them. They would eat with them. They would sleep with them. They would work together. It was a real community that was going on, and this master teacher would guide the disciples, and they were students, and they watched the way he dealt with circumstances. They watched the way he dealt with people. They watched the way he came up with information and dissected that and came up to his worldview, and they were followers of him. And Jesus says, that's what a disciple is, and a disciple of Christ is one that follows me. He is one that obeys the Bible. He hears the teaching, he watches the example, and he imitates their example. But there is a difference between the book of John and today, isn't there? Jesus was physically with his disciples. Today, Jesus is not physically here. The book of Colossians talks about Jesus in our heart, Jesus living inside of us, the hope of glory. Jesus lives within us through the Holy Spirit. We understand that Jesus physically isn't here today. So how do we really live out being followers of Jesus? Well, a disciple should pray. He should be guided by the Holy Spirit. He should appreciate the heritage of Christianity and the counsel and accountability. As a book many years ago said, we should ask the question, what would Jesus do? These are all great things that we can do as Christians, but the reality is, the key to discipleship is, if you continue in what? My word. It's the word of God that determines whether we really are disciples or not. Now, if you have been around Christians very long, you grew up in church, been around people that say they're disciples, a lot of times disciples of Jesus aren't really following Jesus. There are times that the Bible tells us one thing, and people say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but I've prayed about it. Have you ever heard those kind of things? Yeah, I understand that that's what the Bible says, but, you know, but I've prayed about it, I really feel, and I've talked to people. You know, I've got six friends that agree with this, or, you know, if we ask enough people, we'll be able to get somebody that'll agree with us eventually, you know. And so this one guy said there's three ways you can determine the direction of your life. You can ask sinners, you can ask saints, or you can ask the scriptures. And the reality is the people of the world may not give us very good advice, and the people of the church may not give us very good advice. But the scriptures are what's key. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. See, that's great to pray about things, but it doesn't necessarily determine that that's what we should do, especially if it's contrary to the scriptures, right? If the scriptures say one thing, we follow the scriptures. We don't follow our heart. We don't follow our guidance. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit or a pastor told me this or other people do this, right? I mean, when your kids are growing up, well, everybody else can do it, right? And they think, well, that must be okay. If everybody else does it, then I can do it. And, you know, my parents said, if your friends jump off a bridge, would you do it? And I thought, sounds kind of fun, right? It seems like not too bad of an idea, but, you know, probably not a good advice there. But just because everybody else does it doesn't make it right. How do we determine the will of God? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? It's not based on feelings. It's not based on consensus. It's based on the scriptures. See, that's why we should be faithful to church. That's why we should get connected to small group. That's why we need to have quiet times where we open up the scriptures and read it for ourselves. That whether we call it devotions or quiet time or scripture reading or whatever, we need to hear, what does the word of God command me to do in this busy life? With commuting up and down 95 and taking your kids to sports events and, you know, posting something on social media and getting through the important series on Netflix or whatever, you know, the important things that you have to do in life. As busy as life is, we can allow that to crowd out our time with the scriptures, can't we? Just because we're so busy. We're busy even doing good things. But if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You see, the Bible is what's vital. Romans 12:2. In Romans 12, if there's one passage I've talked about more in 27 years of being here, it's been from Romans chapter 12. And Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't do just what everybody else says. You know, there's a world of people that are going to praise you to live like them, be like them. Do like them, act like them, think like them, right? Don't get squeezed into its mold. Don't allow that to determine your worldview and what life is about. But be ye transformed. It's the word metamorphosis, to be changed from the inside out. Even don't let the church to determine your values and everything you're going to do. Look to the scriptures, be transformed. How? How do we get changed from the inside? By the renewing of your mind. Where does that come from? The Bible. Well, I heard a pastor say once, hey, that's not good enough. Well, you know, Pastor Wilcox believed, hey, who really cares? Are you going to stand before God one day and say, Pastor Wilcox told me that. And, you know, I'll have to give an account of my message and this stuff, but I don't think he's going to say, well, yeah, if he said it, it must be okay, right? I mean, what do the scriptures command of us? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what happens? That you may prove, that you may be able to discover, that you can fully determine what the will of God is. You see, it goes back to the scriptures. So the first characteristic, I got a simple message for you today. The first is what? Obey the word. Okay. Wow. I understand where Pastor Steve's coming from now. When he says, say amen. All right. So obey the word. Okay, that's our guide for life. If you continue or abide or dwell or have a relation with me through my word, then are you my disciples? And he just adds that little word, indeed. You really are. That's what it's about. It's about obeying the Bible. Secondly, John 15, verse 8. I want to give you John 15, verse 8 here. Now, this is the passage about abiding. It keeps talking about abiding. I actually preached on this in the middle of the summer. But look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The first, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. He said, if you can glorify me by bearing fruit, and if you bear fruit that brings me glory, then, he says, you are my disciple. Midsummer, I preached on John 15. I'm sure you remember it because you remember all my sermons, right? And normally I go home and I say, hey, Paula, what'd you get out of the message? And she said, what'd you preach on again? And so I kind of go back over that a little bit. But I know you get it, right? So you get that as well. Oh, now everybody's looking over at you. I'm sorry. On your I shouldn't have done that on your birthday. But anyway, happy birthday. So I just wanted to wish that to that. Hope you have a great day. Hope the kids bought you something nice. Because remember when Maya's birthday, I didn't buy something? It kind of happens at other birthdays as well. But anyway, maybe I'll surprise her. I love going to Goodwill. There's great presents there. And I literally, Christy and Paula's birthday are the same. And so I normally this time of year go to Goodwill, not for my wife, because I go to Walmart for her gift. But anyway, but I do go to Goodwill to buy Christy a present. And I look for the ugliest doll that I can find. So if you ever go into her office, so all of the birthday presents, because she can't bring it home because Kenzie was afraid when she was little. She said, do not bring that ugly doll home. So I actually did that, but it has nothing to do with the message. So let's look at this second thought here. A disciple is one who bears fruit. So in the middle of summer, I told you about my tomato plants. So the beginning of summer, Paula said, I don't want to do a garden this year. I said, no, let's just do some tomato plants. I got, I think, 3 or 4 tomato plants of the larger tomatoes and then 2 of the little grape tomato plants. And so I planted them and kind of forgot about them and went back and saw I wasn't watering them the way that I should. I'd put some of the metal stands around it, but things weren't going real well. They were falling on the ground, and those green caterpillars, those bugs. And I said at that point that I had read that those green, my dad called them tomato bugs, but those green caterpillars that you squish and they like shoot out about 100 feet. You know those caterpillars? You ever seen those? It's pretty fun. But anyway, those bugs were destroying it, and I'd said that I had read that they turn into the hummingbird moth. And Donna Rogers talked to me later and said it does not become the hummingbird moth. And so I think she's right, and I don't mess with Donna, so I'm going to believe her on that anyway. But so it doesn't become the hummingbird moth. But I did plant those plants, and I did a terrible job, and so we were getting no fruit from those plants. So here's what I did. I got some more of the metal stakes put around them. I started watering them. I got rid of all those caterpillars. And if you were at my house today, there are about 15 tomatoes that are in the fridge that we still haven't eaten because the last half of the season, they did pretty well. And so we got some tomatoes. I mean, we had a great end of the season. Now, most of the plants died, but one of the plants with the bigger tomatoes did quite well, and then one of the grape tomato plants as well. So we had quite a few great tomatoes, made a lot of salsa throughout. The grape tomatoes were really sweet, and we were able to have those. Now, why did that happen? The first half of the year, I didn't take care of them. I wasn't a very good farmer, or as the King James says here, a vine dresser. I wasn't a good husbandman. I wasn't caring for the plants. And Jesus says he is a good farmer, that he takes care of things. And as you look through this passage, he said, for the plant to work effectively, it's not what the farmer is doing as much as it is what the plant is doing, but the farmer knows how to care for it correctly. So the nutrition can get to the end of the plant to produce the fruit, but it comes through the branches and it goes down into the root system, right? We understand that a basic thing. And so the farmer would be able to take care of them. And he said, here's what I want you to do. All I want you to do is to abide in me. If you abide in me, if you just have that relationship with me, then everything is going to be great because I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of on the outside. And God had designed creation in this fantastic way. If we're doing the right things on the outside and he's taking care of things on the inside, then guess what? Fruit's going to come forth. And so he says in John 15:8 that you can glorify me by bearing fruit. And he said, if you bear this fruit, then are you my disciples. It's interesting. Because it is possible to do the first thing, to obey the Bible, in a cold, orthodox way. Well, here's a rule. You know, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Okay, I'm not allowed to go to this place or talk to that person or act this way or whatever. We could follow those rules and still not bear fruit, still not have a good relationship. And we could do all of the outward things right. I go to church, I wear the right kind of clothes, I say the right kind of things, but our heart really isn't in the right spot, because Christianity isn't about following rules, but it is about following Jesus, isn't it? I mean, Christianity, even that term, means a follower of Christ or somebody that lives according to the example of Christ. It is those that are trying to be little Christ. They're trying to act like Jesus. That's what a disciple was. That's what a Christian meant. Those people are trying to act like Jesus. But it's not about the outward things we do. It's about abiding in Him. Because when we're abiding in Him, then we can bear much fruit. As I've always said, love God, love people, and help others do the same. Sort of my life motto. I stole it from Pastor Steve one day, but it really, that's what it's about. Just love God, love people, and help people to love God and love people to bear fruit, right? To see lives changed. And you will be my disciple. It's interesting. Jesus is talking about a relationship. You will be my disciple. See, we're not a disciple of a church. We're not a disciple of a pastor, a movement, or denomination, or a group. We are disciples of Jesus. When Jesus talked to John, he said this, John, I want you to follow me. See, it was about following him. And you know what he said to Peter? He said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Guess who the shepherd is to care for? God's sheep. I learned that a long time ago. Jesus said this to Peter, I will build my church. So this isn't my church. Some people say, hey, Pastor Wilcox, something about my church or your church. It is not my church. If this is my church, we should just close it down, right? It isn't my church. This is his church, and we are his sheep. Sometimes pastors get upset. Somebody leaves one church and goes to another and says, they're stealing my people. Hey, nobody is my people, right? The reality is I have four children, but they're not mine. They belong to God. I'm just simply a steward of who God's given to me, right? And Jesus says this, you are my disciples if you bear fruit that glorifies me. He loves us. He died for us. He did that because he wants a relationship with us. That's what Christianity is. So you can have religion without the founder necessarily, but not in Christianity. Because without Jesus, Christianity is nothing. If there was no death, burial, and resurrection, if Jesus isn't alive today, Paul said we're preaching in vain. It's useless. It's worthless. Because Christianity is about Jesus. And he said, if you want to be my disciples, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to obey my word, and I want you to bring me glory by bearing much fruit. Now, there's several types of fruit that the Bible talks about. One of my favorite authors, Warren Wiersbe, says, there is fruit to seeing other people saved in Romans 1. There is the fruit of worship. He calls it the fruit of our lips giving thanks. There's the fruit of giving in Romans 15, when we give of our finances, that's fruit. There is the fruit of obedience in Romans 6, the fruit of holiness. And as Pastor Steve talked about earlier, there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The New King James Version says this about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These nine qualities make up the fruit of the Spirit. These are the characteristics that God wants us to have in our life. If we are going to bear fruit, and certainly part of that fruit is seeing other people come into God's kingdom. In a couple weeks, we have a baptismal service. The week after that, November 10th, we have our Friend Day. We want you to invite some people. And so thank you to all those that took some of the gospel tracks and the literature on the So Love track last week. We have some more of those out there. And this week and over the next several weeks, we have this little flyer that we are better together, and we want to invite people to church, and it gives the date on the back of when our friend day is. And so we want to bring other people to Jesus. So November 10th, a special day where we want to do that. And I want you to bring your friend. Think about who is it that's not going to church right now, somebody that you can invite. But the reality is, if we are going to make disciples, we also have to be made disciples. And how do I demonstrate that I am a disciple? It's by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to get us out of control. He wants to give us self-control. The Holy Spirit isn't working in our life when we have a grumpy attitude. See, He wants to give us joy. When we're so filled with anger that the people at work don't want to be around us, and they say, if that's what a Christian is, see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What is the world looking for? They're looking for love. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for a place that's not filled with all kinds of problems. That's love, joy, and peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And we don't do it to impress others. We don't do it to be seen of men. As He says in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified. Do we do what we do so people will look at us and say, wow, they're a good singer. Well, they're a good Christian. Well, they go to church. Well, that's not about us. It's that our Father would be glorified. When our Father is glorified by the fruit that we're bearing, then He says, you are my disciples. So, first characteristics is to obey the word. All right. Second, if we are going to be His disciples, we must bear what? Fruit. All right, so obey the word, bearing fruit. I told you, simple message, simple person, so it makes kind of sense, doesn't it? I'm going to give you the last right here. It's in John chapter 13, verse 34. So I'm just going to go back a page here. John chapter 13. Let me give you the context. In John 13, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's gathered with His disciples. He's had communion with them. As they gathered together, they were arguing about who was going to wash their feet. See, they had a rented room. They borrowed this room so they could gather together for this time of Passover where He's going to institute communion or the Lord's Supper. And they're gathering together, and they didn't sit in chairs. They kind of would lay down at a lower table so people's feet would be near the food and stuff. So they would generally have a little bit of a washing. It wasn't a ceremony. They just washed their feet off because they wore sandals around. And so they were kind of debating who's going to wash whose feet because the servants aren't in here. And so Jesus just gets up, and He gets a basin of water and a towel wrapped around Him, and He washes the disciples' feet. Remember that? And in the context of that, while He's talking to them, could you imagine? You're saying, I'm not going to wash your feet. And then the Savior, your Lord, the Master comes to you and He washes your feet. Man, that would be quite humbling, wouldn't it? And so He says this in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And that's beautiful, but it really... Here's something that doesn't make sense. Because it wasn't like the disciples said, we're to love each other. It wasn't like it was the first time it was ever spoken. I mean, we could go back to the Levitical law and the way that God said, I want you to treat people. And Jesus is really just quoting Leviticus 19 where it says, I want you to love one another. I want you to love your neighbor. I mean, it's not just the New Testament. It went all the way back to the Old Testament from the beginning of the scriptures that Moses wrote. This was an understanding. But Jesus says this, I got a new commandment for you. And they're listening, well, what is it? I want you to love. And they're thinking, that doesn't really seem new. You know, it'd be like if they said, hey, Jesus says, hey, 2 + 2 = 4. And they're like, yeah, we know. It didn't seem that new. But He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, to a certain extent, I mean, he is upping the ante, isn't he? I want you to love the way I love. It's a fully sacrificial love. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And here's the key in verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. There we see it again. Now, this isn't so much just about being Jesus' disciple, but it's demonstrating to others, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. He's saying, here's how you demonstrate that you really are a disciple. A few weeks ago, we had for teens and children as well, See You at the Pole. And at See You at the Pole, we encouraged all young people to go before church or before school that day and pray for their school year, to pray for their teachers, to pray for their fellow students. I mean, that's a demonstration of discipleship. On October 3rd, we challenged our teens to take their Bible to school that day. And I heard that they'd gathered together, and many of them had done that. There are many things that we can do to demonstrate it. Sometimes people say, well, I demonstrate that I'm a Christian because my neighbors see that I get up in the on Sunday morning and they see me get dressed up and I go to church. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can say, you know, this is how I demonstrate that I'm a Christian. But the reality is, all of those things, even though they can be very good, he gives us one key. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. How? What is the reference that Jesus says to the world? Basically, he's saying to all the world, I give you permission to determine whether these people that say they're Christians really are Christians, really are my disciples, and I'm going to allow you to judge them because I'm going to tell you, here's how you can tell if these people are really disciples. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you do what? That you love. That you love one another. So I'm a disciple if I obey the Bible. Now, it's not about following my heart. It's not about following statistics. It's not about, you know, if everybody else thinks it's okay, it's okay. No, it's what the Bible has to say. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what Christians say. It doesn't matter what some pastor says. It ultimately doesn't even matter what a parent may say to us, because a parent could be wrong, but the scriptures are right, right? That's where we guide people back to the Word of God. I obey the Bible. I obey the Word. You're my disciple if you bear fruit that glorifies me. That's how you can demonstrate. And then third, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So does the world look at us and say, those are people that love me? Or do they see us, well, you know, that's the crowd that's against abortion. That's a crowd that doesn't believe in gay marriage. You know, are we known for what we're against? Or are we known for what we're for? And I'm not saying we lower our standards. I mean, the Bible is clear about what God says about those subjects. But what are we known by? See, what are we known by? Are we known as people of love? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. See, we call ourselves the choice family. And the reality is, in my family growing up, we didn't always agree. Sometimes we would fight. We had great relationships, really, but sometimes we didn't agree. Sometimes we'd be upset with each other. Sometimes we didn't say nice things even to each other. Now, we wouldn't let somebody else do that, right? Well, you're going to criticize my family. I'm, you know, going to come against you. But you always loved your family. You weren't sure you always liked your sibling, but you always loved them, right? I mean, sometimes they would get on your nerve a little bit. Yeah, that's what happens in a family. And you got to work through things. You got to resolve things. Nobody has a perfect home. You know, our kids growing up, they don't always respond the way that they would like or whatever. And sometimes they have arguments. When our kids would argue, my wife would say this, hey, stop it. Remember, you guys are best friends. Now hold hands. And that was terrible for them. You know, I got to hold their hands. Yeah, your best friends, I want you to hold hands, you know. So they'd have to befriend each other. They'd have to realize, hey, this is what we do. We are family. We don't always agree. We don't always get along. But we always will love each other. We don't get mad and run away. We stay together. Even if the church building is freezing. I see all you ladies putting your coats on right now. Even if you're freezing. I'm done. There's enough hot air going out right now. We're just about done anyway, so don't turn change the heat or anything. But this is what it means to make disciples, that we get people saved. We see them follow in believers' baptism. They join the church. There's spiritual growth in their life. There are some things we can disagree with. We can have different ideas about some things. We can even disagree about some things that we might do. Some Christians may do this, some Christians may not do this. But the reality is, with different convictions, different priorities, and different personalities, we gather together to love each other. That's how we deal in the Choice family. God wants to use these circumstances to grow us, to stay united, because by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? By loving each other. Men can know. Other people can see it. I brought a bumper sticker up. If you don't have a Choice bumper sticker, we got some out there as well. If you don't cut people off and, listen to AC/DC real loud in the car or whatever, you know, we want you to put one of these on your car or whatever. Invite some people to church. If you do cut people, there, you know, about 2 years ago, there was a guy, my brother called me and said, hey, I saw one of your church bumper stickers. And he told me the guy's name he was flying by me. And so I said something in church. And that day, that guy took the bumper sticker off. And I said, that wasn't the point to take. It was to drive slower, not to take the bumper sticker off. But anyway, do I obey the Bible? Do I love God? Do I love people? That's what Jesus said. You are my disciple if you do these three things. That's how we make a difference. So here's the one thing. Am I becoming the disciple that Jesus wants? That's really the first question. You know, if you do these three things, then are you my disciple? Am I living out these things in my own life? And then secondly, if I am, and none of us are perfect, nobody has their family life, fixed, none of us have a personal life where everything's correct and we do right all the time, we always have the right kind of attitude, we're always allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, none of us are perfect in that, but am I moving ahead? Am I doing what Jesus says? Have I counted the cost? Do I really understand what it means for me to live this life? And then secondly, am I making an impact by reproducing others? If it is about making disciples, now we see what it means to be a disciple. Are we making disciples? Are we helping people to become followers of Jesus? Am I a believer? Am I demonstrating these characteristics in my life? And am I leaving a legacy? Am I reproducing this in the lives of people around me? Our church family, my personal family, my children, my grandchildren. Am I trying to pour my life into them so they become the disciples that Jesus wants? Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And friend, if you're here today, you're not certain that you're a Christian. As we look at this aspect of what it means to be a disciple. You see, it's not what we do. It's what Jesus does in and through us. Salvation is a free gift of God. It comes by Jesus dying on the cross. But he challenges each one of us to take up our cross, to count the cost of what it really means to be his follower. If you have a question about eternity during this song, we invite you to come forward. Maybe you know you haven't been obeying the Bible, you haven't been loving Jesus the way you should. It's not the fruit that you really want to see. This invitation's for you. Maybe you haven't been loving others the way that God intends for you to. The way he commands us to here in John chapter 13, a new commandment he wants us to love. You talk to Jesus.